From the Chemical Coast to the Panhandle Wind Farms and the sawmills of the East to the international bridges of the West, if it matters to Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a liberal corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic, Beto Pancho, takes $1 million from one of the most radical leftist donors in the United States, a man who spends massive money backing district attorneys who refuse to prosecute crime. Tells you a lot about O'Rourke. And the racism of Texas Democrats on display in the Rio Grande Valley. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. They're your go-to source in dealing with the Department of Transportation. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. Crime, guns, and COVID, yeah, you can mix it up. But to libs, it's still the guns that make a criminal. We'll talk about some things I alluded to yesterday, a report out of Austin on their crime rate. There's a lot of interesting things in, other than its attempt to make a narrative that the story itself doesn't support, you know, other than that, typical liberal writing in a liberal newspaper, Gannett, it's a good story and there's a lot to learn from it. The Uvalde massacre fallout continues. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a podcast of today's show. That's just a recording, folks. And you don't need special software or anything to do that. And you can hear our long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. You can go to most every podcasting platform, the Apple platform, the Amazon platform, the Google platform. Oh, there's many, many more. I'm trying to think of all the other platforms out there that carry the podcast every day. If you want to get it as soon as it's published, you can just use the podcast page that we have directly with our podcast originating vendor that then syndicates it out. And you just do that at PrattOnTexas.com. It's like anything else. You just click on it and you'll hear the audio. So it's a great way to hear the program. All right, my friends, as always, it is a great day to be a Texan, but it's not real fun in this heat. Nobody likes it. Well, I take that back. I have a friend that thinks it's just fine. He hates cold so much he would be happy living in Phoenix or Tucson. But anyway, it's not fun. There's not anything good about it. The crops, what few were planted and got up, are dying. It's bad. Hopefully there's some rain in this system coming. North Texas wildfire continues to grow amid high heat. Of course, we're talking about the Chalk Mountain fire southwest of Fort Worth. It was the largest active wildfire yesterday, 6,000 acres, an increase from 4,000 acres in the morning. Forest Service said it was just 10% contained. And that's in Hood County. They ordered mandatory evacuations yesterday afternoon of a rural area south of Tolar. And there were 12 structures lost, not sure if they were businesses, residences, or what. Then, of course, you've got the Big Possum Kingdom Lake fire. Began Monday afternoon, burned 500 acres. It was 10% contained yesterday. They worked around the clock on this. We had some homes destroyed there. No injuries, fortunately, from all the fires, and it's just dangerous out there. The United States House of Representatives, representing the culture that we find ourselves in, has passed a bill to, they call it Respect for Marriage Act, which is a perfect example of how the left uses language and why it infuriates me so often when conservatives and people I know who ought to know better use the words that the left has put out there. This isn't about respecting marriage. It's about codifying in law that Supreme Court decision, Obergefell or whatever it is, for making sure that states don't have a right to manage contracts. In our Constitution, states pretty well have all the authority over contracts. Marriage is a contract between two people. If you don't believe me, at least in a secular and legal sense, go back to the arguments for homosexual so-called marriage. And it's all about contract rights, property rights, and things like that, which can easily be handled and had in most states. And in fact, I think 37 states had already passed measures making this so-called marriage, at least on the legal books, marriage between homosexuals. before that Supreme Court decision that really jumped in the way of states' rights and states' ability to regulate contracts within their borders. And now they're trying to, the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act still exists as a federal bill that recognizes marriage exclusively between one man and one woman. Even Clinton signed that thing. And most Republicans voted against the measure. I think there were 47 House Republicans voted for this so-called protection of homosexual marriage. And one of them, only one, was from Texas, U.S. Rep. Tony Gonzalez of San Antonio, that big district along the border that flips Democrat once in a while. I don't know why he decided to do that, but he shouldn't. It's wrong. It's amazing to call it respect for marriage. You might as well say this is apostasy. This is an open law to tell Christians and everything they believe in the Word of God that it doesn't matter in this country. Now, granted, I mean, you can have these things. There's nothing respectful about these deals. This is how they play with language. There's nothing respectful about taking a contract between people and redefining it to include the things that the very idea of marriage comes from religion and our biblical teaching, our Judeo-Christian teaching. And it's evolved, truly. There have been changes over the centuries, over the eons. But to come in and just all of a sudden say that, you can't have marriage the way you think of it, despite, the way it's been forever, we're going to change it. And then to call that respect and to say that marriage now, which is a sacrament in many, considered as high as what we would call a sacrament in many churches, certainly the longest and largest Christian traditions throughout the world, it's a sacrament. And to say that we now have to apply it to people who are living in a manner that the Word of God and the Scriptures tells us is wrong, flatly throughout. It's not all Leviticus stuff. It's all through the New Testament too, that it's wrong. To say that we have to extend that to those folks is certainly not respectful of anybody. And that's the problem with all these getting your way through the courts stuff. The Dallas Morning News has been all upset and a whole bunch of the liberal media about Ted Cruz because he said in a YouTube channel Saturday, it's nothing new. He said it before, that this Obergefell and Hodges ruling is vulnerable amongst the Supreme Court. And he's right. And it's just sort of like the abortion thing. It's not about the act itself, whether states are allowed to allow homosexuals to enter into what the state calls marriage. 37 states in Washington, D.C. had already legalized it before this decision. The issue is whether that's an issue for the federal government or not, or one for the states. And Cruz said in Obergefell, the court said, no, we know better than you guys do, meaning the people, a representative republic, and now every state must sanction and permit. And he falls for it too, because it's gay marriage. It's not gay marriage. There's nothing happy about this stuff. It's homosexual marriage. And of course, they're all upset over it, and they're all excited in the media because the House is doing this stuff. It's just more of the same. Oh, more of the same. Biden transportation secretary, himself a homosexual, claims to have a wife or a husband or something, another guy, Pete Buttigieg. He says, again, high gas prices are a good thing because it forces us to accept transition to the green energy agenda. It just continues to go on. Again, more of the same. And, oh boy, a lot of other stuff in the stack. I'm going to get into the political news, the campaign and political news, when we return here in a moment on Pratt on Texas. If you haven't joined our listener club, do so. Somebody else telling me, well, I didn't know you were on this station or that. If you just join the listener club, you'll get all the information you need when it's needed. Back in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Do you think going to the dentist for a lot of work can be fun? How about if it cost you much less and, as part of the deal, you got a wonderful vacation in one of the world's most desired locations? Costa Rica is world-renowned for dentistry and its dental laboratories, and our dentist, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of DentoCare, provides the kind of expert, personalized service you would think only the super wealthy would get. I'm not kidding about that. Costa Rica is also one of the most desirable countries to visit in summer or winter, and you'll even be near Texas Tech's new campus when with Dr. Zuniga. Many Pratt on Texas listeners have made the trip a few more than once and have said it was one of the best decisions they've made. Learn more about our dentist and friend, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in DentoCare, by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Go to PrattOnTexas.com and click on the DentoCare banner. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our good friends at Allied Compliance Services. O'Rourke takes $1 million from one of the most radical leftist donors in the U.S., a man who has spent the last many years spending huge money, including in Texas, to back district attorneys who openly refuse to prosecute crime. That's right, and that tells you a lot about the Texas Democratic Party and Mr. O'Rourke. Also, the racism of Texas Democrats on display in the Rio Grande Valley, you know, when it's their backyard. Remember that chairman of the Democratic Party, Alberto Hinojosa, in his first year, I think, or so, he's been chairman a long time, was just reelected in their convention. That was such a bust. Even their own people were complaining that members just all went and got drunk Friday night, and they couldn't have a quorum on Saturday, which should be your highest attended day, Saturday. I guess there's really no difference, though, between Friday and Saturday for Democrats if you don't work. Anyway, they didn't have a quorum, couldn't even pass their platform. The issue with what I was going to say about Gilberto and also was way back, you know, he was screaming angry years ago, and I covered it in detail. He was saying brown people are our people. In other words, they belong to his party. And we're seeing this kind of nastiness, bigotry, and racism in the Rio Grande Valley, where a Republican won the special election for Congress, my friends. And let's get to that story before we get to the Beto Poncho fake Hispanic from El Paso rich boy story. Blogger with ties to Vicente Gonzalez lobs racist attack at his congressional opponent, Myra Flores. Now, do you think that direct of a headline came from, oh, sure, that, of course, conservative-leaning media. No. That came out of the left-wing, left-leaning Texas Tribune. That's how bad it is. Written by Matthew Choi. Yesterday, Texas political blogger Jerry McHale, who gets campaign funds from a lot of Valley Democrats, this Texas 34th District, referred to Congresswoman, the new one, Myra Flores, as Miss Frijoles and Miss Enchiladas. He accused her of, quote, playing the race card and called her a cotton-picking liar, claiming she's a liar that she worked with her family in cotton fields as a child, which, I'm sorry, I hoed cotton along with some Hispanic crews myself. Usually I had to do it on my own. It's interesting how urban people just, you know, they really believe in all this stuff that the cotton is all slaves, you know, forgetting most people didn't have slaves. And the part of the country where we grow the most cotton in the world now, there weren't even people there during slavery. My parents picked cotton physically by hand, and then as they got more equipment, did it the other way. I mean, this idea that was all a minority thing and oppressive is just laughable. It's just a job. Gosh, my grandfather, who had his own little tiny farm, went to New Mexico to pick beans by hand. Several times a lot of people did to make enough money. That got rid of the depression years and stuff. Anyway, apparently if you ever did any real labor, though, you're some kind of put-upon minority. It's all born of ignorance. It's all their propaganda. So this big Democrat guy calls her Miss Frijoles and Miss Enchiladas and calls her a cotton-picking liar. Gonzalez, Vicente Gonzalez, there's campaign, gave Mikhail $1,200 on June 24th for his advertising services. Well, it was $1,000 last year in the fall. Gonzalez campaign manager Colin Steele told NBC News the campaign did not pay for Mikhail to deploy these attacks. Yeah, but he's your guy. Of course, the congressman is against referring to Representative Flores as Miss Frijoles or a cotton-picking liar. I guess the enchiladas was okay. They didn't include that in the statement. And in the statement to the Texas Tribune, Myra Flores said she was, quote, disgusted that Vicente Gonzalez has hired a creepy blogger. I love that. A creepy blogger to attack my Mexican heritage and sexually degrade me. But I won't let this distract me from my work, said the Republican. Vicente Gonzalez is an example of everything that's wrong with Washington. He doesn't have a record to stand on, she said. Well, I guess his people working for his campaign do, one of racism or bigotry. Mikhail also has gotten money for advertising and campaign work from U.S. Reps Philemon Vela, the one who's quit and opened that up for a special election in Brownsville, and Solomon Ortiz going back to 2004. He's an old-time Democrat operative. It's the second time since Flores was elected, the Tribune reports, in her June 14th special election that Gonzalez has taken heat for comments made about his opponent. Gonzalez told Newsweek last month that the freshman congresswoman was, quote, unqualified and a pawn of the Republican Party, and distanced himself from her by saying, I wasn't born in Mexico, I was born in South Texas, the son of a Korean War veteran. So again, this is what the Democrats, when a Republican says it, call jingoism, hatred of foreigners, a hatred of immigrants, and that kind of thing. Mikhail, he went and defended his rhetoric in that Monday blog post. He wrote that Flores obviously has no concept of satire, particularly in the political arena. Now, when did Frijoles become the equivalent of the N-word? Well, I guess now. I mean, he thinks that's okay, and he's the big political helper of these Democrats down there. Jill Biden, the first lost lady there, is calling Hispanics in San Antonio unique as the breakfast tacos. So, you know, this is how they lash out, folks. And they lash out. They can't stand the idea that there's competition. The left acts this way globally whenever they lose anything. And it's kind of interesting to watch. And, you know, we know from the campaign filings now that old Beto Poncho, Robert Francis, took $1 million from George Soros. And Katie Drollinger reminds us at the scorecard that through his Open Society Foundation's group, Soros funds a variety of, quote, individuals and organizations across the globe fighting for freedom of expression, accountable government, and societies that promote justice and equality. Well, actually, if you look at what they define those things as being, it's all extreme leftism to the point of making it illegal, in many cases, for you to disagree with them. And they fund through a whole network of smaller groups. He supports groups that want, you know, lacks immigration enforcement. The Vera Institute of Justice, one of the Soros-backed groups, got $172 million contract from the feds to help illegal border crossers evade deportation. You're paying them. During the presidential campaign that O'Rourke tried, he promised to partner with Congress to grant citizenship to more than 11 million illegal aliens. He wants to do amnesty, not full citizenship, folks. Soros supports policies aimed at radically reforming the criminal justice system. The billionaire has spent more than $30 million funding the campaigns of these far-left district attorney candidates across the country. You know, Democrats on Democrats, where they beat the more normal Democrats in the primaries. It's happened in Texas and Barrow County and other places. And a lot of these are the people that want to let people out, not arrest people, not prosecute people for crime. And I think it makes sense that Soros would give money to Beto Pancho O'Rourke here in Texas. $1 million of it, and he accepted it, didn't turn it back. And yet, it's real funny. All the press reported that the state convention, where they couldn't even get a quorum because so many Democrats went out and got drunk Friday night, had no quorum on Saturday, that the whole convention and Beto distanced themselves a lot from Biden. Isn't that interesting? So what they're really telling you is, we embrace not only Biden, but we embrace the policy's even more radical than Joe Biden, but we know he's unpopular in the polls, so we're publicly distancing ourselves from him, but we don't have a problem taking money, $1 million, not from somebody who's employing Texans and building businesses and all the good stuff, but from someone whose life dedication has been to basically turn the West into a, you know, socialist leftist state, I mean, one global, you know, one world global state of leftism. So that tells you a lot. And so there's these racist attacks on Myra Flores in the Valley. The left, once they win anything, folks, all those things about justice go out the window. Back in a moment.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
We're back with more Pratt on Texas. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club at PrattOnTexas.com. Just like the show, it's free. Now, here's Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. The fallout from the Uvalde massacre and the fabulously done, serious, very earnest report from the House Investigating Committee that was released. The fallout continues. You've got school district people mattering heck when they realize just how absolutely bad it was right there with their own school district police. And again, I have always been opposed to that. I do not believe school districts, they need to be doing school. They don't need to have police departments. You know, that you've got sheriff's offices, if they're out in the county, you got municipalities, if they're in a town that already have police departments, we don't need all this extra stuff. Well, but schools are different and have unique stuff. Yeah, what good did that do you? Anyway, people want him fired. I think there are a lot of people mad that he's still on paid administrative leave. However, we've learned from an agenda call for a meeting on Saturday that they will meet in closed session, which is what you do for employment things, and consider the issues related to the recommendation of termination for good cause of the contract of their school police chief, Pete Arredondo. And interestingly, there's tons of coverage on this in the press. I noticed Bob Price's piece at Breitbart, Texas, was pretty good because he pointed out that the report clearly cites failures all in the school district, and that's the teachers themselves. Propping doors open that are supposed to remain locked, teachers who won't lock their doors at all kinds of things. I mean, it's in detail. Go read the report. But nobody else says the special agenda makes no mention of the termination of any employees of the school district related to the failure to follow the safety policies or maintenance, fixing the locks that had been reported repeatedly as not working on one of those classroom doors and other things. So There you go. And from the beginning, one friend says, boy, this guy's a piece of work. One politico in Texas to me about this state senator that represents that area, Rolando Gutierrez. Rolando Gutierrez is, I said yesterday, just not very bright. He thinks he is. And he's out grandstanding yesterday and today, making a big deal out of, well, let me give you Philip Jankowski's Dallas Morning News piece on it, headline, Uvalde Senator, should Texas DPA DPS review its own shooting response? And he's out saying, why has DPS decided to conduct the internal audit now, 55 days after? Well, because we're waiting on the other investigations, maybe? Secondly, can this entity be trusted to review its own inaction and failures? He said in a letter to Dan Patrick. Here's what's interesting about that. All it proves is that Gutierrez himself is grandstanding. He's just grandstanding. He's involved in demagoguery. Because all organizations investigate themselves. Police organizations often investigate themselves. And here's the key point. Nothing about DPS. Should DPS not investigate itself? Let's turn it around. You mean that the DPS hierarchy should not, after this report has come out, and remember, Senator, it only came out Sunday, should DPS not investigate the actions of its officers? I mean, that's their chain of command. That's who they report to. They're the ones with their training requirements and promotions and demotions and everything. Should they not investigate themselves? I know some people are, well, they're going to cover it. Wait a minute. DPS, and this is why we know that Gutierrez is little more than a grandstander, a demagogue, because an agency's internal investigation does not preclude, or for you, those of you in Lockney, does not stop anyone from any other authority from executing an outside investigation. In other words, there's nothing about DPS investigating itself that's out of line, and that in no way means that they can't be investigated by anybody else, including the legislature or anybody else. It's all demagoguery from Rolando Gutierrez, and that's all we've heard from the beginning on this thing from him. I got a really good, two really good listener club letters today. I read those first. And I actually took time to respond and talk back to some of them. Jason had a really good one about being in the military and having to actually step into a gunfight and says it's extremely scary. He's had to do it in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Jason, thank you. And talks about that the police are never going to be as aggressive. And I wrote him back and said, well, we don't want them to be in that sense because they're not soldiers. That's why we have civilian policing in this country. It goes back to our founding. But he points out that he says, it's why I argue teachers need firearms. They're the ones backed against the wall with the students, not the police. That's right. The police are somewhere else. They're on the scene. He said, second, I've asked many of my friends, mostly combat veterans themselves, why they don't support arming teachers. They always say they don't trust teachers with guns. See, this is a reflexive statement people make that they've never really thought through. He says, then I ask, how can they trust these teachers with their children's minds if they can trust them with a, if they can't trust them with a gun? That is a very good point. They always respond with some version of, I don't have a choice about sending my children to school. He said, for what it's worth, I don't trust the teachers with either. So we homeschool our kids. Bingo. Jackpot, Jason. That's exactly right. But you know what people are saying when they say they don't teach people who ought to know better, they don't trust the teachers with guns. What they're saying is they don't support the Second Amendment and do not trust the bedrock principles put forth in the Declaration of Independence and then in later documents of our country, that the average plain citizenry holds sovereignty and is supposed to be armed to prevent authority from taking away their rights. I mean, you can't, it's real hard to be a Second Amendment supporter properly and understand its purpose and then stand around and always say, well, I don't trust these people with guns. You know, that's why the Democrats passed all the gun control over those years post-Reconstruction. It was to keep minorities, black people, from having guns during Reconstruction. There's a long history of this. And so they could, and then what, of course, what did they do with that? They implemented, created Jim Crow after Reconstruction, and the radical Republicans, as they were called, were pulled out, and they took power back in the southern, in the slave holding states and a bunch of northern states. Don't kid yourself. And they took away people's basic rights again, not slavery, but Jim Crow, segregation. whites-only Democratic primaries in Texas and all kinds of things. You know, couldn't even go in the same places, be in the same train cars, be in the same waiting rooms. This is the point. That's the point of disarming people. Because when you disarm people, the next thing that happens is those with authority, those who have the guns, begin systematically, over time, taking away their basic rights. I think it's insane when people say something like, well, I don't trust teachers with guns. There are teachers I wouldn't trust with guns. There are a lot of teachers I wouldn't trust, like Jason says, with the mind of my child. But there are many, many more that I would have no problem with. The fact of the matter is, whose back is against the wall? It's the teacher. That's the adult. In loco parentis, that's the adult who has the parental responsibility to protect, even with your life if needed, the child when the government has them prisoner in a public school every day because they're required to go. And why is that hard to understand? That it doesn't matter how good a policy, there are a lot of things you can do to deter and keep people out, and those things need to be done. That's why the Breitbart story was writing about how come none of the other people are being looked at. Well, they may be in the school district because they weren't following their own plans. They weren't locking doors. They were purposely, overtly circumventing the security of the school regularly. It was well known. It's all discussed in testimony in that report, the Robb Elementary report out from the House committee. They did bad things. So there are things you can do, but ultimately, no matter how good of a plan you have or how good a police you have or anything, in all situations, the people present at the scene, it only takes seconds. Only takes seconds for something bad to happen. And those are the people with their backs up against the wall. The only way you're really ever going to stop things like that from happening is being able to respond with an effective force that's effective enough to stop it instantly. Will it work every time? No. But it has a better chance than waiting around and for minutes and minutes or maybe even hours like Uvalde.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
Farming has never been for the faint of heart, but you already know that. The faith and fortitude that brought you to the table will ensure you're here tomorrow. At Vista Bank, we can say that because we've served producers just like you for 109 years. Through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, two world wars, and the global pandemic, one of the region's few FSA preferred lenders, maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank, where people always come first.
Make your time on the lake or pond the best it can be with an Elite Custom Boat Dock from EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the coolest, most fun, and functional boat docks around. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and even diving spot on your boat or even jet ski dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Make your time count with the best boat dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Are you redoing houses or commercial buildings? Corley Demo and Construction does quality interior and exterior demo and doesn't charge extra fees such as dump fees. They rent construction dumpsters too. Get it cleaned out or torn down right so you can get the job going with Corley Demo and Construction. Free estimates. Contact us today at CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. Quality work, quality cleanup. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com.
A Texan by birth, a patriot by conviction. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Pratt on Texas. Was I ever prescient? I mean, you got stories now in all these Gannett newspapers and everywhere about, does the Uvalde situation, you know, does that end the good guy with a gun argument? No, of course it doesn't. Just because the good guys there didn't use theirs to do it doesn't mean that one who does wouldn't be effective. And we talked so much about that Indiana Mall shooting and the 22-year-old young man with his license to carry who stopped that mass shooting. You know, we had the same thing in Houston. American Wire News reminds us the heroic Houston cop who bum-rushed an active shooter at the Galleria at a children's dance competition in February has finally spoken. He spoke, I think, to ABC 13 in Houston. And he said that working security there was a second job. He's a sergeant in the Houston PD. He said, I definitely know what I signed up for 20 years ago when I got in this profession. He's definitely alluding to what happened in Uvalde or what didn't happen. So when a call came in as he was patrolling the Uptown District Mall that a man with a rifle was walking around Macy's, he and another security guard rushed towards the department store. They ran to the danger. They encountered hundreds of children with their parents gathered for a dance competition a few hundred feet from the store's doors. Quote, I did know there was a dance competition with the little kids going on at the Westin Ballroom, so I didn't pull my weapon out because I didn't want to be running toward the Macy's area, which is past the ballroom area, with the gun out and startle anyone. The officer knew that with only a handgun and a soft vest, he was disadvantaged. I knew if a person did have a rifle and they were inside the mall, I was pretty much outnumbered because all I had was a handgun at the time. My handgun and his rifle. I was already at a disadvantage. Simpo quickly spotted Guido Herrera clad in a shirt bearing a Punisher logo, carrying a Bible in one hand and a rifle in another. This guy was wearing a leather mask with spikes protruding from it. Now, don't tell me that can't be prosecuted for carrying a weapon in a way intended to cause alarm, which is what the law is in Texas. He wasn't deterred. He said, I quickly bum-rush tackled him. My first reaction was to make sure I get hold of the rifle. No matter what I grabbed, make sure I grab that rifle. He mentally prepared himself for a bullet wound he was certain was coming. I had it in my mind I was going to get shot. I just had to bear the pain. I knew it was going to hurt, and I was like, whatever I do, I cannot let go of this rifle. He managed to shove the barrel of the firearm towards the ceiling and pin the would-be shooter against the wall without a shot being fired. Backup arrived. Herrera was arrested, and a huge tragedy was prevented. So don't give me the stuff that the good guy with the gun doesn't work. If the guy had started shooting, he would not have been able to rush him, so he would have had to pull his gun out, try to take some kind of cover, and place a proper shot. Now, this Austin crime thing. Big piece by Heather Osborne and Katie Hall in the Austin American-Statesman. Now, here's their headline. They're trying to push a narrative, but their story doesn't back the narrative up at all. Austin homicides in first half of 2022 marked by rising gun violence. You see, everything's gun violence. I guess killing people without a gun's okay. Stabbing them to death in the River Center Mall like yesterday, stabbing a 70-year-old woman because you're mad at her or something in a bathroom in a mall is okay because that's not gun violence. It says authorities at the end of June reported a total of 34 homicides, a 23% drop from the 44 violent killings seen from January through June of last year. In Austin. At the end of 2021, Austin police had logged 89 homicides, the most such deaths since at least the 1960s when Austin police began keeping records. The death toll last year was more than the number of killings in 2019 and 2020 combined in Austin. But with four more Austin homicides in July, the number in 2022 to date has already surpassed the totals of back in 2017, which was 25, and 2018, which was 32, and matches the total in 2019 of 38. Remember, it jumped up to 44 in 2021. The number of homicides reached 48 in 2020, as Austin's steep rise in homicides coincided with the coronavirus pandemic. Why don't they have in here that it coincided with more gun sales? Because it didn't. That's not the point. More of the story. According to police records going back to 1960, Austin's previous record for homicides in a year was 59 in 1984, when the homicide rate was 13.2 per 100,000. While Austin's 89 in 2021 were well above the 59 in 84, obviously it's much bigger much lower per 100,000 because the city's bigger, 9.25 per 100,000. Homicide rate was 3.4 in 2019, 4.4 per 100,000 in 2020. Shootings made up 61% of the 33 unjustified killings in 2019 and 73% of the 44 unjustified killings in 2020. So right there you see that a third and more than a third of killings happen without a firearm. Although the topic of increasing gun violence is complex, they write, the coronavirus pandemic probably contributed by causing changes in educational services, mental stress, social isolation, and economic stressors such as job loss and housing instability, according to the CDC. Well, wait a minute. How come again later in the story, it's not that more guns caused the crime, but your whole headline and meme is that it's guns? No, it was the stupid government lockdowns. By the way, you took all these gangbangers out of school for all day. They had nothing to do but gather and have gang wars. Many people, later it says, many of the people who commit gun violence in Austin are convicted felons who are not allowed to legally purchase a gun and instead are using stolen weapons, says Chief Chacon. Right. So all these gun control things have no effect or very little effect. And by the way, we already have the scholarly evidence to prove that. We even had a ban on the so-called AR-type weapons under the Clinton administration. It did nothing to affect crime. The point is, they don't follow the law. They're willing to die, go to jail, whatever, for murder, robbery, rape, or whatever. They don't care that there's a gun-free zone or that you're not allowed to buy it, or you got to wait, have a waiting time, or have a background check, or you got to be 21, or you got to be 25, or you got to have a permission. They don't care. Those laws only affect, generally, statistically, the people who are going to use a firearm to protect themselves from the criminals, because they buy their weapons on the streets illegally, black market. And let's listen to more of this story. The latest census data for Austin show that black people make up only 7.8% of the population. And preliminary police data show that 20% of the 34 homicides in the first half of the year were black. Hispanic people make up a third of the population, but at least 47% of victims. White people are 69.4% of the population, but 32% of victims. For all of 2021, about 38% of the 89 homicide victims were Hispanic, 28% were black, and 19% were white. They didn't really want to talk about the perps in here. They just talk victims because that's politically woke enough in the pages of the Statesman. Similar data were reported in 2020. And they keep on going. And what are they really pointing out here? That what we have is a cultural problem within certain ethnicities. I don't think race is the issue. I think it's socioeconomic stuff. And it's not because you're poor. It's who you hang out with, you know. As a man thinketh, so shall he live. The people you hang around with, no matter how much you think I'm not going to be like them, you hang around with them long enough, you hang around sinners, you're going to become more of a sinner. I'm just telling you, it's the way it works. It's known from the beginning of time. We have problems, but the left woke people can't talk about that. Now, did any of this, the whole meme in this stuff is gun violence. But when we look at it, we don't see that guns are the problem. We see that you have community problems within certain groups. And we also see what? We see that the lockdowns, even they quote it twice in the article, the lockdowns that the liberals were all for, the people said, we got to end gun violence, caused a massive increase in gun violence. And it's just interesting to me when you actually look at the numbers and things, how that they don't stack up with the shibboleths of the left. By the way, the House today had a hearing clearing the way for a ban on AR and AK style rifles, and it's nothing more than like the old Clinton and a magazine capacity deal. It'll probably pass out of the U.S. House. The elections need to come soon, my friends. Just remember this, anybody talking about restricting weapons or your ability to have an effective weapon, including a high-capacity magazine, all they're doing is saying they're taking away your right to defend your life and that of your family and of other innocent people. It's that simple. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock, tuned to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tuned to 96.1 FM Q Country.